Chapter 23. I called Murphy's cell phone.
Murphy here.
Hey, Murph, how you doing?
This line isn't...
I know, I said. I know. Mine either.
Hello, FBI guys. Don't you guys get bored doing this stuff all the time?
Murphy snorted into the phone.
What's up?
I'm thinking about getting a broken-down doormat to go with my broken-down door and the broken-down frame around it, I said.
Thank you, FBI guys.
Don't make demons of the Bureau, Murphy said. They aren't much more inept than anyone else. There's only so much they can do when they're given bad intelligence.
What about your place? I asked.
They came, they searched, they left. Rawlins and Stallings and a dozen other guys from SI were here assisting. The Bureau dusted and took out my trash after they were done.
I barked out a laugh. The boys at SI got away with that?
Murphy sounded decidedly smug.
They were there at the request of the new agent in charge.
Tilly?
You met him, huh?
Did, and glad to. Spoke well of you.
He's an Aikidoka, Murphy said. I've been to his dojo a few times to teach some practical application classes. He's come out to dojos to teach forms and some formal weapons classes.
Oh, right. He's the guy who taught you staff fighting?
That's him. We started off in the same class many moons ago.
I grunted. Shame to meet him this way.
The Bureau generally aren't a bad bunch. This is all about Rudolph, or whoever's giving Rudolph his marching orders.
A thought struck me, and I went silent for a moment.
Harry, you still there?
Yeah, sorry.
Was just about to head out for a steak sandwich. Interested?
Sure.
20?
20.
Murphy hung up, and I said to the still open line,
Hey, if you got someone watching my place, could you call the cops if anyone tries to steal my Star Wars poster? It's an original.
Then I vindictively hung up on the FBI. It made my inner child happy. 20 minutes later, I walked into McAnally's.
It was too early for it to be properly crowded, and Murphy and I sat down at a corner table, the one farthest from the windows, and therefore from laser microphones, in case our federal pursuers had doubled up on their paranoia meds. I began without preamble. Who said Rudolph was getting his orders from his direct superiors, or from anyone in Chicago at all? She frowned and thought about it for a moment. I waited it out patiently.
You don't really think that, she said. Do you?
I think it's worth looking at. He looked shaky when I saw him.
Yeah, Murphy said thoughtfully. At my place, too.
I filled her in on the details of what she'd missed, at my place and the FBI building, and by the time I was done, she was nodding confidently.
Go on.
I nodded. We both know that ladder climbers like Rudolph don't usually get nervous, rushed, and pressured when they're operating with official sanction. They have too much fun swaggering around beating people over the head with their authority club.
Don't know if all of them do that, she said, but I know damn well that Rudolph does.
Yeah, but this time he was edgy, impatient, desperate. I told her about his behavior in general, and specifically at my place and in the interrogation room downtown. Tilly said that Rudolph had lied his ass off to point the FBI at me.
And you believe that? Murphy asked.
Don't you? She shrugged.
Point. But that doesn't mean he's being used as some kind of agent.
I think it does, I said. He's not operating with the full authority of his superiors. Someone else has got to be pushing him. Someone who scared him enough to make him nervous and hasty.
Maybe that works, Murphy said. Why would he do it?
Someone wanted to make sure I wasn't involved in the search for Maggie. So maybe they sent Rudolph after me. Then, when Tilly turns me loose, they take things to the next level and try to whack me outside the FBI building.
Murphy's blue eyes were cold at the mention of the assassination attempt. Could they have gotten someone into position that fast? I tried to work it through in my head. After Tilly sent Rudolph out of the room, it didn't take long for me to get out. 10 minutes, 15 at most. Time enough to call in his failure and for his handler to send in a hit, you think?
Murphy thought about it herself and then shook her head slowly.
Only if they were very, very close and moved like greased lightning. But, Harry, that hit was too calm, too smooth for something thrown together at the last possible moment.
I frowned, and we both clammed up as Mac came over to our table and put a pair of brown bottles down. He was a spare man, bald, and had been, ever since I knew him, dressed in dark clothes and a spotless white apron. We both murmured thanks, and he withdrew again.